Hi, how are you? Tim McLaughlin. You missed the intro because I didn't push the right button, so you're going to have to catch up where I'm at. So when I got into single adult ministry, I said, Lord, what is it that that you really want me to do? I said, because I don't have a clue. And so I started, I'm reading books, obviously, and I started doing a lot of praying and attended the Sam's conference and just started seeking. And really what I found out was is after being in the car business for 10 years, I knew how to lead people. I started off as a salesman, moved up to a finance manager, then to a used car manager, then to a new car manager, up to I was a general sales manager for 3 years before I ever got into ministry. So I knew how to lead people. And as the Lord began to reveal some things about the car business to me, what He showed me was He said, well, how is it that you took a... I took a Kia dealership, and by the grace of God, I'm not bragging on myself, but by the grace of God, I took a Kia dealership in our hometown that was selling 35 to 40 cars a month, and we had moved it up within 3 years to where they were selling 80 to 85 cars a month. He said, how did you do that? I said, well, God, you did that. He said, but you had a vision. He said, you walked in, you had a vision of what you could see. He said, you could dream and you could see that dealership selling 85 cars a month and being a successful dealership. He said, do the same thing with singles ministry. Get yourself a vision on what you see in these singles, the singles that are in your group, and see how you want to grow it and how you want to minister to those people. And that's how you'll be effective in singles ministry. So I did. So we got a vision together. I still have one of the brochures. Our singles ministry is called One Accord, or One Accord Ministries. There's a couple of these brochures back there. You're more than happy to have some. I brought a couple extra. If you would, how many of you got your Bible? Hallelujah, because you're going to use them in this class. Leon Tucker, I went to his session yesterday, and it was funny. We walked out after lunch to the car, and my wife said, I grabbed my Bible. She goes, you think we're going to need our Bible? I said, if we don't, I'm going home. Okay? So, the Word works, but you got to work the Word. So if you would, open your Bibles real quick. This is still on the intro, but open to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, down there around verse 40. If you don't have your Bible, that's okay. We'll pray for you, and then we'll read on. All right. Hallelujah. So we're in Acts chapter 2, verse 40. The reason our ministry is called One Accord is over in Acts chapter 2, verse 40. This is where the church first started off. The day of Pentecost came, the church was formed, and they began to go out and minister. And you know that right after the day of Pentecost, 3,000 were added to. In verse number 40, it says, and with many others... With many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved. That's number one. Be saved. All right. Accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. That's the number one key. And then after that, it says, from this perverse generation, then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, 3,000 souls were added to them. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread. All right. That's taking Holy Communion. And in the prayers. They were praying. Then fear came upon every soul, and many signs and wonders, miracles begin to take place, okay, were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. Verse 46 says, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. We are a one accord ministry. We break bread, we fellowship, we praise God, we pray, we do all these things according to Acts chapter 2, the way the church was designed, and we're added to daily. When you go through our brochure, if you pick one up, within our ministry, we have three different levels that we minister to people. We have our career single ministry, which are for those that are 35 and under. If they're not involved in our college ministry, but they're under 35 and they've never been married, we minister to them on a career level. In other words, what we do over in our Timothy talks about, he said, do not be despised for your youth, but be ministered to in purity and in boldness. And he lists these things. That's what we do with our career singles. We minister to them on areas of life. I'm not a big statistician, so I can't give you exacts, but I do know this, that everybody that I've talked to and books that I've read, people are getting married later in life. They're not rushing out like they used to and jumping into marriage at 18, 19, 20, 21 years old. The average age right now is 34, 35 years of age. students. We minister to these singles that are coming out of college or coming out of high school, jumping right into the job force, and their thing is, look, I want to get some money in the bank. I want to get me a house. I want to get me a car. I want to do these things before I ever think about getting married. And that's great. So we minister to them on that level. How to balance a checkbook. How to date godly. How to do things according to the Word of God. We pour into them the Word to strengthen them up. So when they get to that point of marriage, it's for eternity. It's a promise. It's a vow that it's never going to be broken. That's what we pray for. That's what we minister to them on, is godly marriages and how to get there and how to do things right. The second level that we have is single again. Our single again ministry is for those that have been married and for either the reason of divorce or death, maybe they're widowed, that less than 5 years, they're single again. We minister to them. We have things like divorce care. We have Financial Peace University. We have Grief Share. And we have a class that we also do. You may have seen the curriculum on that's called Single or Living Single. But what we do is we minister to them in those areas. And we also do Bible studies. We meet every Friday night for a Bible study with that group. And really, we pour into them. How many of you in here, it's a single ministry, but how many of you in here are divorced or have been divorced at some time? Okay? You know that the first 5 years are the hardest five. You know, you're trying to reestablish, you know, man, I got to take a budget that was a two-person budget and I got to live on a one-person budget. I got to do things maybe where he was the disciplinarian or she was the disciplinarian, and I've got to be both. I got to play both role models. I've got to work and be the parent. I've got to be, you know, all these things. So that first 5 years is the hardest part for most people when they've been married for a while. So that's where we really pour into the people, into our singles ministries, and is in that group right there, our single again group, that we love on them. We pour into them and we continue to build them up. The Bible tells us over in 1 Corinthians that we're to exhort, we're to admonish, we're to build up the body. And that's what we do, is we build them up and we encourage them. Then we have our living single group, which is for those that have been single again for more than 5 years. At that point, after the first 5 years, the whole thing that we try to do is we try to encourage them and build them and do these things to get them into that ministry. That ministry right there, they only meet once a month. Not because we chose that, but because they said, we're so busy because, Pastor, we've done exactly what you've told us to do. We've gotten involved in the church. They're in the choir. They're choir leaders. They're usher captains. They're working down in our little champions area, which is our toddlers. They're in our youth ministry. They're involved in ministry in the church. They've gotten off the point that said, oh, woe is me. You know, why is my life this way? And now they've turned and they focus and they said, you know, now I want to minister to other people. If I get married, that's great. If I don't ever get married, praise the Lord, God's got a plan for me anyway. Jeremiah 29:11. Okay? And so that's what we do with that. So that's why we've got three different groups that we minister to. People say, well, how do you do without age limit? You know, the age limit thing, we try to do some of that stuff, but you know, really, it's a spiritual journey more than it is an age journey. So we minister to them on their spiritual needs, their emotional needs, those kind of things, okay? We also have single parent housing, which is for people, you know, males or females that have went through divorce and they're just really struggling in that financial, emotional, spiritual area. We help, we take them in. We've got two three-bedroom houses and one two-bedroom house that we allow families to move in anywhere from 6 to 18 months. They only pay $100 a month and that covers their rent and all of their utilities. And we put them with a family. And that family meets with them and ministers to them on a regular basis to help them to save money, to get out of debt, to build up their spiritual needs, their emotional needs, to do all of these things to get them to when they move out of that house. We've had, right now we've had 16 families that have went through successfully. Out of those 16, I know of four that have already bought their own house and they've come out financially independent. They're serving in our church on a regular basis. They're good people. They're great leaders in our church because we took the time for that 6 to 18 months and really poured into them. Okay? So, back to vision. That's the reason we're here, is because I want to make sure that what you're doing is you have a vision to be a successful singles ministry. Alright? Now, how many, let's see, who in here is been in single adult ministry leadership less than 6 months? Well, you're the king, bro. So how long? No? How long have you been in single adult leadership?
We don't have any single adult.
You don't have any? Right, grab him a mug. He's going to need one. You drink coffee?
coffee.
If you don't drink coffee, you will when you get in single adult ministry, brother. All right, I'm just kidding. There you go. Have you a coffee cup. For real? No, I'm just kidding. You may drink Mountain Dew. Don't scare you. I won't scare you. You know what? If I say anything and you say, man, was he serious? All you got to do is you got to ask me, are you serious? Okay. I'll tell you this about single adult ministry, and I'll say this too. If you disagree with me, you can feel free to disagree with me. Single adult ministry is trying. I know as a minister, some of you probably, I don't know, how many of you are actually on staff at a church? Okay, you are. You know, some of you, give him another motion. You know, being on staff is the thing to where, you know, I've had those phone calls at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning where your singles are, you know, pastor, and they're just crying. I don't know what to do. You know, little Jimmy's acting up and his daddy don't want nothing to do with him. What do I do, pastor? Or, you know, pastor, I'm looking at my financial statement and I'm $300 in the hole and rent's due tomorrow. Pastor, what do I do? Pastor, you know, I've got to go to work tomorrow, but I got two kids and they're both sick, and if I don't go to work, I'm not going to have enough money. What am I going to do, pastor? Pastor, I just really need someone to speak into my life. You know, I'm having feelings. I'm looking at this guy or this girl over here, and I'm just having feelings that I know I shouldn't have. What do I do, pastor? Pastor, I'm just really, really depressed. What do I do, pastor? You're going to have some of those calls. So when I talk about those things, I make light of it, but that's the reality of it, is you're going to have those things, and there's going to come times where you're going to have some sleepless nights because you're going to be up all night praying. If you're not praying for your people, I'm telling you, that's where it starts. I pray for my people. I have a list of my singles, and I pray for them. Sometimes I go through and I call them by name. Sometimes I just lay my hands on my roll book, and I just pray for them as a group. But pray for them. Pray for godly leaders to come in so that you can help have people to help share. I have gotten, it's taken me 4 years to get there. The first two and a half years was a struggle. But I've got to the point now where I've got some great leadership to where when somebody does call me with that, I can say, you know what, I'm going to let you talk to so-and-so, and I'll call one of my leaders. I said, this is what she's dealing with, because my leader has been through that stage, and they know what God has done in their life to bring them through. So I refer them over to that, okay? So, again, I mean, I'm not trying to scare you, but singles ministry is a tough ministry. It really is. It's a tough ministry. You know, like I said, when my pastor told me, he said, you know, you want to minister to the hopeless, the hurting, and the hungry, this is the ministry for you. And that's exactly what we've been doing for 4 years. Okay? So again, talking about vision, the vision for One Accord Singles Ministry, for the ministry in which I'm over, is One Accord's ministry vision is to reach, encourage, and disciple single adults from all walks of life. The ministry provides a safe, friendly, and uplifting Christian environment. One Accord offers single adults a place to enjoy fellowship, participate in group activities, and enjoy Bible studies targeted to meet their spiritual needs. Okay, that's our vision statement. That's what we try to do. We're there to disciple, to encourage, and to build them up and get them to a place to where they can go out and they can begin to serve others. Okay? Vision gives significance to the otherwise meaningless and brings order to chaos. When I first took over as a singles pastor, I'd walked into a ministry that hadn't had a pastor for 6 months. Chaos was a word that I would definitely use. Chaos was the word. They had no leadership. We had a couple people that had been in singles ministry. They were singles themselves for about 2 years, and they thought, man, you know, I know everything there is to know, and they had a little bit of word. You know, a little bit of the word can be dangerous. Continue every day to grow yourself in the word, but it was very chaotic for me and meaningless. You know, if you don't have a vision, when I stepped in, I didn't have a vision. That's why I went to the Lord. I'm like, singles ministry, I mean, tell them to get healed and pray and move on with their life. And the Lord said, no, you don't understand. And I had to spend time, and I had to sit down with a lot of these people. I said, tell me what's going on in your life. And when I began to see those things, I realized that I went from the meaningless to a very meaningful ministry. Okay? So that's why I want to talk to you about vision. John Maxwell says that all effective leaders have a vision of what they must accomplish. You have to have a vision of what it is that you want to accomplish. If you're just trying to shoot from the hip, you're going to struggle. Every day is going to be a struggle. And you're going to, here in about 2 years, you're going to be sitting there going, you know, God, move me on. Take me to another ministry. Do something. But if you've got a vision of what you want to accomplish, you'll begin to see the fruit of those things coming to pass. And you'll see leaders coming in underneath you, helping you, encouraging you along. And the other part of it is, you've got to have Dennis Frank talks about this, but you've got to have a pastor. Hey, Shannon, you've got to have a pastor that has a vision for your ministry. So your vision, I'm going to talk about this in just a second, but your vision has to be something that you're so passionate about that others in the church catch on to it. Because if not, if you're doing a church where they're just like, well, you know, tell you what, we want you to go over here and babysit and just whatever, and then they're over here doing their thing, and then you're coming in and you're trying to share with them, and you're just not passionate about it, they're never going to get passionate about it. You know, I'm blessed that I've got a senior pastor that is passionate about single adult ministry, and that helps my job a lot. Because when I go and I sit down to him, I say, Pastor, these are some things I need. These are some areas we're dealing with that he's willing to jump in there with me and help out in those areas. Like coming to conferences like that. That needs to be part of your budget. You need to come and get some resources. You need to come and get refreshed and get built up and encouraged. So those are things your senior pastor. If he's got a vision for singles ministry, you'll be allowed to come and do these things. Vision becomes the energy behind every effort and the force that pushes through all problems. With a clear and concise vision, a leader can begin his mission with a contagious spirit that will cause others to come alongside. Unity is essential for the vision to be realized. Individual rights are set aside because the whole is much more important than the part. The whole is much more important than the part. Singles ministry is more important than just me being there. Okay, it's about those that are in that ministry and how we're ministering to them, how we're growing them, how we're pouring into their life. The disciples of the early church knew that. I said, you know, it's not about just us 12 that walked with Jesus. Okay, we walked with him for a reason, but what it's really about is pouring into others, and that's why the church was able to multiply. Okay, you know, singles ministry is one of these things. I tell people all the time, I said, I'm trying to get to the point where I get myself out of a job. You know, get them into healthy marriages. That's why our career singles ministry is so important. Get them into healthier marriages. Get it to the point where the divorce rate that's inside the church is not as much or greater than what's out in the world. Okay? And then we also advertise. Okay? I'm from an Assembly of God church, and we advertise. Our Friday night Bible study that we have for our singles, we've got Baptist, we've got Methodist. I had a Lutheran lady that was coming for a long time. We've got we had a Mormon one time. We've got a couple non-denominations. You know, but what we've got is we've got a group of people that they come because they say, you know what? There's nobody else in town that's doing what you're doing. And I need to be around people that are like me and dealing with some of these things. Can you help? I'm like, come on in. All right? And, you know, I don't minister doctrine. All right, I stay away from doctrine. Now, if they sit down, they ask me some questions about why things happen, I'm going to talk to them. But we don't minister doctrine. What we minister is Jesus, and we minister the Word, and we minister in love. Okay, walk in love. The Bible says that if you walk in love, everything else will be taken care of. Okay, so we do that. Without a vision, energy is lost, personal agendas rise, and people leave. Okay, that's not in your worksheet, but it says, without a vision, energy is lost, personal agendas rise, and people leave. If you don't have a vision, you're not going to have very much success with people hanging around in your ministry. Because again, they're just going to see somebody that's coming in that's either trying to get a paycheck or just wants to carry the name lead or something, but you have no vision. I know some of you in here, like I said, you know, we've got one that said he was on staff, so the rest of you, I assume, are probably volunteer leaders. God bless you. I would be lost without my leaders. When I took over again for that singles ministry, the leadership that was there, they were trying to run the ministry for the last 6 months since that pastor left. But I had to inherit his leadership team. For the first year that I was in that ministry, every time I said, you know what, I think what we need to do is this. Well, Pastor Bob never did that. Yeah, well, I'm not Pastor Bob. Okay? And every time, I mean, that's how it was for a year. I mean, every time we would do something, there was resistance. But I couldn't go in there and just say, look, you guys are gone. I'm starting to, if I'd have done that, I'd have self-destructed. But what I did is I had to listen to them, share, continue to share my vision with them, continue to pour into them. And what happens is they begin to weed themselves out. They you know, a couple of them just said, you know, look, you know, we got to move on, and I had to let them go. Some still stick around today. I've got a couple that stepped off leadership, but they got back involved in the ministry. But what it is, I got to start pouring in and grow my own leaders. Now I've got a great leadership team right now. Man, people, last night, of course, we were here. They went on with ministry. And I know that what took place would be the same as if I was there. I have no doubts because they know my passion. They know my vision. They know what we want to accomplish. And that's what they do. And they love people. And I have no problems. You know, they'll counsel with people. They'll hug people. They'll love on people. And if it ever gets to a point where they say, look, I'm feeling a little uncomfortable, we need to call Pastor Tim. But ministry takes place because they know my vision and they know my heart. Okay? Helen Keller was asked, what would be worse than being born blind? And she replied, to have sight without a vision. To have a sight without a vision. The Bible says, without vision, people perish. Without a vision, people perish. Okay? So let's go to your worksheet. Got some fill in the blanks and I'm going to talk faster. So what is vision? Vision gives significance to the otherwise meaningless and brings order to chaos. Hopefully I talked long enough that if you found that on your sheet, you got that written out. Okay. I want to talk about a couple characteristics of vision. A couple characteristics of vision. I've already said this two or three times, but the first thing about vision is it evokes passion. A person with vision has passion. That shows that you have passion. Okay? It evokes passion. Vision is always accompanied by a strong emotion. The clearer the vision, the stronger the emotion. Did Jesus have vision? Most definitely. Did he have passion? Absolutely. Okay? You can see that all throughout the Word. From Genesis to maps, you can see where people had passion. They had a vision. Okay? What God called them to, they had a vision to accomplish that. B, vision provides motivation. Vision provides motivation. Vision-driven people are motivated people. They're motivated by the thought of what could be. Okay? Again, if I would have just stepped in there and said, well, you know, here's my opportunity. God called me into ministry, so you're offering me a job as a singles pastor. I'll do it. Whoever shows up, that's fine, because I can say, hey, I'm a pastor. Absolutely not. And I told the Lord, I said, you know, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it right. My wife tells me all the time, she says, well, you're an overachiever. People make fun of me all the time. You know, if I'm going to do something, that's just the way my dad brought me up. Son, if you're not going to do it right, don't do it. And I believe that's what our Heavenly Father tells us. If you're not going to do it right, don't do it. And so I had a passion for it, but I was motivated. I was motivated because I walked in there and I saw a bunch of hurting people. I saw a bunch of people struggling with their identity, a bunch of people struggling with, you know, the Bible says He has a plan for me and He wants me to have good things and He wants to do all these things for me, but why is this happening to me? And so, you know, to walk in there and to love on these people and to encourage these people, to see these people, when I walk into church on Sunday mornings now and to see, you know, people that have come through singles ministry that are now, like I said, they're the ushers. They're up there in the choir and they're praising God. When 5 years ago, they, you know, you couldn't hardly even get them in the church door and to lift their hands because they just, you know, oh gosh, you know, my life is miserable. But to see them just worshiping. We have some of the greatest worshipers. To see people in the band, you know, that are just serving God. People that are doing street ministry. I'm also over the street ministry at Trinity Assembly, and a lot of my singles come in and they say, you know what? You've poured into us. We want to go out and we want to pour into others. And so they've gotten their eyes focused off their problems and they've turned towards helping out other people. So you got to be motivated. Vision also sets the direction. Vision sets the direction. That's C. Leaders without vision are easily distracted. They will drift from one activity to another without a clear destination. It sets the direction. You know, Leon Tucker was talking yesterday. If you're in singles ministry and the only reason that you're there is to be an activities coordinator, you know, and you may be that. That may be your title for you if you're in leadership is to be the activities coordinator. But that's if that's the purpose of your singles ministry is activities, just playing in one activity after the other. You know, we're going bowling this week. We're going this, you know, whatever. One activity, you know. I would challenge you to find an activity where this is involved. Because if you're not doing this, if you're not pouring this into your people, you have no destination. You're not giving them a destination. Okay? This is our compass. This is our guide, and that's what we need to do. So we need to have a direction. That will give us direction. That will give your people direction. Okay? In D, vision translates into purpose. Vision translates into purpose. Purpose gives you the momentum to move you through the barriers that would otherwise slow you down. Okay? Purpose gives you the momentum to move you through the barriers that would otherwise slow you down. You gotta have purpose in what you're doing. Okay? If you've got passion, if you've got motivation, if you've got direction, if you've got purpose, you're gonna have a successful ministry. No matter if it's singles or if God moves you into something else, if you've got vision and you've got these things, you will succeed. Alright? The vision you have as a leader is the distinction between your ministry and others of similarity. It is also the key that keeps everyone in your ministry focused. Back there on the table, I've even got some up here in the bowl. We got Mr. Goodbar, we got dark chocolate, we got regular chocolate, we got crackle, we got a couple different things in there, okay? The thing about it is, they're different, but they're all chocolate, right? Different wrappers, but it's all chocolate. Different flavors, but it's all chocolate. Okay? Singles ministry. My people are single. Your people are single. But my people are not like your people. They come from different environments, different reasons why they're single, different things that they're going through. We've got some that are dealing with financial needs. Other than financial needs is the first thing from their mind. Okay? We've got some that come in that have been... they've been in the church their whole life. We've got some that come in that have never stepped foot in a church until they realize, man, I need something more in my life. Okay? So there's a lot of differences, but the thing's the same. The purpose is the same. You know, that's again why we got to go back to the Word. There's a lot of differences in those 12 men that Jesus taught, but there's one purpose. They all love God. They all had a passion. And when it got to the point over in Acts, they all went out and they did what they were called to do and what they were gifted to do. Okay? Everybody understand? Anybody want a candy bar? Come on, everybody likes chocolate. Anybody?
Chocolate dark.
Oh, dark. You want Mr. Goodbar? There you go. Give her Mr. Goodbar and I'll exchange it. Anybody else? We got more out there? All right. We want you to eat in here. Okay? Does the vision make the leader or does the leader make the vision? Vision makes the leader. Anybody else? Anybody else? She's right. Vision comes first. All right. Again, when I stepped into single adult ministry, I didn't have a clue what was going on. The Lord asked me to seek out the vision. The first thing I did, is I got on my knees and prayed. Oh, Lord, what am I doing here? What is it? The second thing I did is I went to my senior pastor. You know, this wasn't a new ministry. So I went to him. I said, what's been your focus? What's the focus of the church? What's your passion? What's your focus? What's your vision? And then I incorporated my vision. You know, and if it's of God, God's going to make it that way because God doesn't do anything according to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Everything's in order. Okay? So if you're in order in your ministry, your vision's going to be what the vision of your church and your senior pastor and everybody else is. Okay? So you know, I sought the vision. I sought the vision of my senior pastor. I found out what the Lord wanted me to do. And then I incorporated my vision around it. But the vision was there first. He just stepped me into that position to run with it. Okay? So the vision comes first. Lose the vision and lose your power to lead. Connect a vision with a leader willing to implement a dream and movement begins. People do not follow a dream, but they do follow a leader who has the ability to communicate the dream effectively. Therefore, vision in the beginning will make a leader, but for that vision to grow and create a following, the leader must take responsibility for it. You know, how many of you have had just dreams and you thought, man, that was powerful? You know, you wake up in the morning and, man, that was exciting. Like I said, now when I was in the car business for 10 years, I mean, I would have dreams of a lot of different things, you know, breaking big records and doing all that stuff. But if I didn't implement those things, we would have done nothing. You know, if I could call the owner of the store and say, hey, this is your general manager. Man, I had a dream last night that we're going to sell 10 cars today, so, you know, it's just going to happen. I'm not coming in today. And you're not coming. What do you mean I'm not coming in tomorrow either? But, you know, okay. I had to get out there and had to walk. Same thing with ministry. God's going to plant some stuff in you, but you've got to walk it out. All right? He's going to give you things. He's going to give you some vision. He's going to give you some guidance. He's going to speak to you about some things, but you've got to walk it out. You've got to get in there and implement. If you stand up there before your singles ministry and say, man, I've just got a dream. I got a dream that we're gonna double in size over the next year, and we're gonna do some great things. We're gonna really impact some people's lives, and man, it's gonna be great. And then they look at you and say, well, hallelujah, Susan, how are we gonna do it? Well, you know, I don't know. I was hoping you had the answer to that. I mean, I'm fired up that I've got a dream. You know, we got to walk out the dream. Okay, you got to walk it out. All right. So there are four vision levels of people. This is on your worksheet. Four vision levels of people. First one, A, they're your wanderers. The wanderers. Wanderers never see the vision of the ministry. They wander in and they wander out. I've had a lot of those. Don't let it get discouraged. Don't let it discourage you as a leader. They come in, they're there for 2 or 3 weeks, you call them, you pamper them, you love on them, and then they walk right back out. Pray for them. I keep a lot of them on my list for a while, for several weeks, and I continue to pray for them. I'll follow up with them, I'll call them. I say, hey, what's going on? Well, you know, I don't know. I mean, hey, we can't force them to come. But what I found is I continue to pray for them, and not every one of them, but a lot of them, I continue to pray for them, I continue to call them, I keep them on my mailing list for several months, and continue to send them out cards and birthday cards. They come back. They come back when they're ready. They come back when the Lord begins to deal with their heart. Okay, like I said, for some of them, it's a spiritual journey. They've got to do some stuff inside themselves so that God can come in and soften their heart. And you need to continue to pray that God would soften their heart. But they're wanderers. They're out there. They're searching. Okay, they're never going to get a hold of your vision until their heart gets right. And then B, you got your followers. Followers never pursue the vision of the ministry on their own. Okay, and followers are jumping to follow. How many of you, you know what the followers? They jump in there and they're like, "Man, Mary, you know, I'm here. What do you want me to do? I'll do it. You tell me what to do. That's great." And you're like, "Well, you know, what do you want? I don't know. Whatever you want to do, Mary, just tell me what to do. I'm here for you. You want to take out the trash? Praise the Lord, Mary. I'll take out the trash. That's great. You know, and there's nothing wrong with having those people because praise the Lord, you need the trash taken out. Okay, but the followers don't have any vision on their own. They have no drive. When you try to go to them for suggestions, like, "Hey, I don't know. Whatever you want to do, I'm fine with it. That's cool. What is it you want to do, Pastor Tim?" "Well, you know, I was thinking that we'd do this." "Hey, that sounds great to me. You know, let's go on playing the mud." "Hey, cool, Pastor Tim, let's do it, you know." All right. And C, you've got the achievers. Achievers see and pursue the vision of ministry. Achievers are going to be those that you're going to bring up underneath you. They're going to be your next leaders. Okay, the achievers are the people that they step in there and they're ready to go. You tell them to greet at the door, and hey, how? And they're doing like I did when you walked in. "Hey, Don, how are you doing? You know, Susan, how's it going? Linda, how, you know?" They're excited. You ask them to plan a dinner, man, they're all out. They got decorations. It's not a matter of throwing some food on the table. They want to make it look good. You didn't tell them to do that, but they do things. When you give them an assignment, you say, "Hey, I was thinking we could have a meatloaf dinner next Friday." We think, "Oh man, meatloaf. Yeah, we could do mashed potatoes. We could do green beans. We could do corn. Yeah, I can see we could decorate everything. We could do, oh, Pastor Tim, I've got it." That's an achiever. That person doesn't just want to sit around and do the ordinary. They're getting a hold and they're grasping. They're helping you to fulfill your vision. And then you've got your leaders, and that's where you are. Okay? Then you've got your leaders. Leaders will see the vision of the ministry and pursue it and help others to see it. That's you. That's why you're here. Because you've caught the vision of the ministry, and you're going out there and you're giving it to others, and you're getting them. It's getting contagious. You're taking your achievers and you're pulling them alongside with you, and you're reaching down with your followers. You say, "Man, quit being a follower and jump in the boat with us." And you're taking them to a new level. A leader has the ability to take people that normally wouldn't go to another direction to that place. Okay, people that normally they just want to sit around. A leader is the person that can come in there and just encourage and build them up and strengthen them and pull them along with them. Okay, Henry Ford came up with an idea, a revolutionary idea to build a V8 engine. He was eager. He had a great idea. He went to the engineers and the architects and everything. He said, "This is what I want to build. I want a V8 engine." Well, all the engineers looked at the plans and they said, "No way, man. Not going to happen." He said, "Look, just build it. Here's the plan. Shave off the metal. Do everything I've asked you to do and just build it. If it fails, it's my expense. I'm going to pay you for it. Just build it. And they kept saying, you know, it's never going to happen. Design after design after design, they kept coming back. They said, Mr. Ford, it's never going to work. Your idea is never going to work. He said, look, go back and try it again. After a year, they were just about to give up. And Ford just kept saying, you know what, just try one more time. After it's continued pressing on, they finally came up and they said, it works. We have a V8 engine that works. If you know anything about the automotive industry, the most popular engine today on the road. Well, actually, it's starting to go downhill now because everybody's wanting the little tiny motors. But for a long time there, I mean, V8s were the thing. Everybody wanted the V8. Before, Ford was a leader. But he had people underneath him that were, they were followers. You know, didn't have a whole lot of achievers. And he had, you know, he had a couple people there that were just, I'm sure they wandered in and out and going, man, you're doing what? Okay, I'm going to this machine shop and going to work because you guys are going to, you're not getting anywhere. Okay, but he was a leader. He said, look, just keep on trying. Keep on pushing. I know that I have a vision. Let's just keep on pursuing it. Stick to your vision. If, again, if it's a God vision. Now, I'll never forget. I love that story over in Acts. Chapter 4, where the apostles are out there and they're laying hands on people and they're touching people and they're ministering, and Gamaliel comes in and they've arrested Peter and John. And Gamaliel was a teacher. If you go and you study the Word much and do a lot of, like the Apostle Paul, Gamaliel was the one that actually taught the Apostle Paul. But he stood up before the Sanhedrin and he said, look, guys, let's be honest, because they're getting ready to kill Peter and John. He said, look, before we do something that we might regret, if it's of God, we'll never be able to stop it no matter how many we kill. If it's not of God, it's going to destroy itself, so we don't need to worry about it. It was of God. We're here today. It's moving on. If your vision is of God, it doesn't matter how many wanderers and how many followers come along. God's going to see it through and you're going to keep on pushing through. Okay? I think we messed up a little on your sheet right here. If you'll go down to underneath number 5 and then we'll go back up to number 4. I'll fill in number 5 for you somewhere in the printing. We put this in the wrong place, but I want to give this to you. Underneath number 5, it's got two little stars next to it. The blanks are a visionary leader, may dream wonderful visions of the future and articulate them with great inspiration. A visionary is good with words. But a leader with a vision is good with actions as well as words, and can bring his or her vision into being in the world by transforming the world in some way. Okay? So a visionary leader may dream wonderful visions of the future and articulate them with great inspiration. A visionary is good with words, but a leader with vision is good with actions as well as words, and can bring his or her vision into being in the world, thus transforming it in some way. Okay? Then we're going to go back up. Yes? Okay. Go back up to number 4. And I'm going to press through this part a little bit because I want to get down to 5. But number A underneath 4, a leader with a vision versus a visionary leader. A leader with a vision talks little but does much. Talks little but does much. You know, James says, be quick to listen, slow to speak. God gave you 2 hands, 2 arms, 2 feet, 2 legs, 1 mouth. Okay? Talk little, do more. People will follow after you. A visionary leader does little but talks much. And they'll tell everybody about the wonderful vision that they have, but they don't ever do a whole lot with it. When I took over the Kia store in Cookeville, Tennessee, the guy that was there, they kept him on staff. He was a great guy. I think the world of him. But he was one of those guys, man, he dressed the part. You know, how many of you know car salesmen? You know, some of you can't stand car salesmen. You're like, how in the world did he become a preacher and he's a car salesman? This guy dressed it, man. I mean, he was some of the finest looking suits I've ever seen in the world. I mean, he dressed the part. He talked. I mean, he had the walk down. He'd walk in, talk to the customer. Hey, Don, how you doing? You know, man, that's a beautiful car. I mean, he had all the moves, but he had no vision. Now he'd sit there and he'd tell the salesman, man, today we're going to sell 10 cars and this and that and blah, blah, you know. And they'd be like, all right, you know, how are we going to do it? He said, well, you're going to get out there and work. Okay, that's it. I mean, that's all he had for him. So when the owner called me in, he said, look, he said, he's good at what he does. The guy, I mean, he could praise cars, he could go to the auction, he could get us the best deals on cars. He said, he dresses great. But he said, the thing is, the salesman don't respect him. He has no vision. He said, what would you do if I put you in charge of this dealership? I said, man, let me just tell you. And I just started rattling off stuff. He said, good, let's go. Let's put it into play. And I got in there and I'd meet with the salesman every morning. I wasn't as good a dresser as Carl was, but man, I'd walk in and I'd say, now guys, listen, this is what we're going to do. We're going to attract people. We're going to sell 10 cars. They're like, all right, how are we going to sell? Okay, this is what we're going to do. Everybody's going to go out there, we're going to jump in a car. All across the front, we're going to put our SUVs. We're going to pop the tops up on them. We're going to turn all the radios to the same radio station. We're going to put some balloons out there. Okay, we're going to create some activity on the lot. People start pulling in. So what I want you to do is I want two salesmen to go up to every person. I want you to start talking with them. Not pressuring them, but talking to them. Get to know them. And I start establishing a plan on how to teach them and how to talk to people. Now, they may not be interested in sport utility. They may come in looking for the little car. And that's fine, but we got them on the lot. Once we got them here, then we can start talking to them. That's the same way we do with singles ministry. Alright? You know, this is how we're going to disciple people. How are we going to do it? Well, we're going to do a Bible study. And, well, go buy a book. It's got Bible studies in it. No, we're gonna search out what is it our people are dealing with. The first part of this year, I know the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and he talked about overflow. He placed that in my heart back in November of last year. Overflow. I said, Lord, what is overflow? And he began to share some things. I started reading books and just studying out the scriptures about overflow. We taught the first part of the year on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I just finished up that series. And people, man, I was just, every week I'd have more and more people. They're just, man, this is good stuff. We've never heard this before, and this is good. And we were making it practical to them. And now we're getting ready to move into, in the month of May, I'm doing a series that actually Ed Young Jr. did, but we're going to be doing it. It's called RPMs. And it kind of talks about finding mates. And he uses a Lamborghini to talk about how when we do, so I relate to it because, you know, he's talking about, but he talks about how when you go in and you look at the car, you know, how if you just jump right in it, man, it's a fast car, it's a sharp looking car, but if I just jump in it and I don't know nothing about it, I'm going to tear it up. And that's how we need to, you know, with God and with relationships, friendships, whether it's a dating relationship or a friendship. If I just jump in and assume that you're going to like everything about me, I may run you off. But if I find out and I get to know you a little bit and I invest some time in you and find out a little bit about you, I can build a relationship. Then he goes through and he talks about you know, how you need to try the thing out, test drive it, look around, get to know, get familiar with the things. Pop the trunk, see if there's any baggage in there. How many of you have been in relationships and there's baggage in there? You got to check out the baggage. So he goes through that. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through our PMs in May with our singles. And then after that, I'm going to go into the book, The Five Love Languages for Singles. Not that I'm necessarily want to get them all married off this month, but you know the thing is you need to know a love language. I've met several people that are like, well, you know, I thought, you know, two ladies. Well, I thought Susie was my best friend. Well, you guys have been hanging out for 6 months. I thought she was your friend too. What's the problem? Well, she just got really, you know, she's got some issues. Well, she's got a love language. Have you met that need? Have you met that love language? Do you really care about her? Or are you selfish? You know, it's not about necessarily dating, but it's about building relationships. So we're going to cover that. But it's having a vision. And I've been talking to my singles about that and getting them excited. They're getting excited. They're looking forward to it because we've placed that in them. Okay? C, a leader with a vision finds strength from inner convictions. You know, it's what God speaks into me. When I read the Word, when I study, when I read books, it's what I'm getting. It's what's happening inside of me that takes me to that place that makes me want to press on and do these things. Whereas a visionary leader finds strength from outward conditions. Okay? Outward conditions. You know, if the sun's shining, they're in a good mood. If it's raining outside, don't get around the guy. If 30 people show up to his Bible study, he's tickled. But if 3 show up, he don't want to talk to them. He just sends them home. You know, it doesn't matter. Keep the same fire burning regardless of what's taking place. All right? It's the same Holy Ghost. It's the same God. All right? Jesus is still on the throne. Keep pushing out. Don't let the things around you sway you. A visionary leader finds strength, or I did that one. A leader with a vision continues when problems arise. A leader with a vision continues when problems arise. They're going to arise. Things are going to happen. All right? But a visionary leader quits when the road becomes difficult. Okay? A visionary leader quits when the road becomes difficult. Rick Warren said, if you want to know the temperature of your ministry, put a thermometer in the leader's mouth. Okay? If you want to know the temperature of the ministry, put a thermometer in the leader's mouth. C, so I hope your temperature is doing good. I want to ask for some volunteers, and we're kind of running out of time, but we're going to do this quickly. In this next section underneath here, in section 5, followers find the leader, then the vision. Leaders find the vision, then the people. Underneath there, there's some scriptures. So if we can go kind of go through this, I think we've got enough people. Is there anybody in here that just absolutely do not like to speak in front of people? Praise the Lord. Okay. If you'll go to Exodus 4:1, Exodus 6:9, and you'll borrow. Okay. Praise the Lord. Exodus 12:35. Mary, you can share with Kathy. Okay. Exodus 14:12-14. And then Mary, you could do Exodus 19:1-5. And Dawn, Exodus 36:4-5. And Lorinda?
Lorna.
Man, I was doing so good too. Exodus, where did I leave off at? 39:42-43. And then Kathy, Deuteronomy 30:9-10. All right, so we just went down the list. Everybody got the scripture there? Yep, Exodus 40:34. I'll read that one. It's short. That's fine. Just remember when we'll get there. Okay? All right. Everybody got your scripture? Everybody know where you're at? We're going to kind of go through this. This is the story of Moses. Moses was a man called from God. I love this story because I had one of those burning bush experiences. It wasn't a burning bush. It was a pastor that was on fire and told me that he was going to call me into singles ministry. And I said, whoa. That's what Moses did. Moses looked at the burning bush. He said, you want me to do what? All right? But because he trusted in God and he listened to what the Lord said, even though he tried to talk himself out of it, all right, he took his people out. Huh?
He said no.
He did say no. I said no. How many of you said no? You said absolutely not. All right. So we're going to start with letter A. Letter A. Letter A says, people buy into the leader before they buy into the vision. People buy into the leader before they buy into the vision. All right, Exodus 4:1.
Moses answered, what if they do not believe me and listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to me?
Okay, Exodus 6:9.
Moses reported this to the Israelites, but they did not listen to him because of their discouragement and cruel bondage.
Exodus 12:35.
Now the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, and they had asked from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing.
All right. You see the progression there? In Exodus 4:1, the Lord's Moses talking to the Lord, and he's saying, look, they're never going to listen to me. They're not going to listen to me. They're not going to want nothing to do with me. And the Lord said, no, you're going to go. You're the one I chose. So he goes, he does what the Lord says, but he speaks to the children of Israel, and they're like, man, get away from us. All you're doing is bringing us more harm. We're working twice as hard with less stuff. Just stay away from us. But he pressed on. He didn't let them get him down. He didn't run. He wasn't the visionary leader that took off when things got a little rough. He pursued. And then in 12:35, it says that they did exactly according to the word of Moses. And all these things were given to him to be able to go out and worship God in the desert. All right, there was a progression there. All right, the people bought into the leader before they bought into the vision. He said, we're going to go out into the desert. We're going to worship God. He's going to take us to the promised land. I said, yeah, right. You want us to go out into the desert with no food, with no clothes, with no silver or gold, worship God, and you're going to call that the promised land? I'm not in on this ride, Moses. You can go on your own. But he pursued. He said, I'm telling you, God has a plan for you. And he continued to share with them the vision, and they started to get on board. Now, we're going to find out they didn't always stay on board. All right? B, the leader determines the credibility of a vision. The leader determines the credibility of a vision. Would the children of Israel have followed Moses if he had not himself believed that the Lord had said to him what the Lord said to him? Absolutely not. If he wouldn't have bought into it, they wouldn't have bought into it. He had to have some fire and some gumption within him. All right, he had to believe what the Lord spoke to him. Who's got Exodus 14:12-14?
That's me.
Okay.
Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians?
For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will shew you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace.
All right. So he started to build some credibility. Okay, he said, look, all right, you don't believe in me, I'm just a man. Let me just show you what God's going to do. All right? And they begin to see how God was working through them. They thought, man, yeah, this brother's got it going on. We'll follow you a little bit further. And we can see that you've got the anointing. Okay, he began to build some credibility. People are looking at you. As a leader, when you say that I've got a vision, they're looking. They're going to say, well, let's just see how long this lasts. The hardest struggle I had when I first took over singles ministry is because the guy that was the first singles minister was there about a year and a half to 2 years. Used that ministry for a stepping stone to go on to become a senior pastor. They brought another guy in. He stayed for about 2.5 years and he did the same thing. He used it for a stepping stone to become a senior pastor. For the first 2 years I was over there, I had the hardest time. And they would tell me that every time. I said, guys, I've got a vision for this ministry. We're going to do great things. And I would start setting out, you know, plans for 4 and 5 and 6 years down the road. They said, man, you're going to leave in 2 years just like the rest of them did. You know, singles ministry is just one of those things. You're using this for a stepping stone to take you to another level to be a senior pastor. Once I reached that 2 and 2.5 year point, I thought, man, he hadn't left like the rest of them had. Things started happening. They started getting in. They started sensing my credibility. I've been there 4 years now. We've got plans laid out for things already getting ready to take place. Chris Swataka was just absolutely amazed. This will be our third annual singles fall retreat. You know, you have couples retreats, you have youth retreats, you have children's retreats. You know, everybody's got a retreat except for the singles. So I said, Pastor, we're going to do a singles retreat. I'm going to take the singles away from their kids, take them away from their jobs, take them away from this community. We're going to get them out someplace and we're going to minister to them for 3 days and we're just going to love on them. He said, man, that is a God idea. So we did. This is the third year we're going to do it. Chris Swataka's come and speak. Well, because they're single adults, one income families, we started planning this back in October of last year. We introduced it to them in February of this year, so they can start making payments, and the retreat don't take place until September. We've already got 29 people that have already paid their deposit and signed up. They're ready to go. When I told Crystal Taco, she said, you got how many? And it's only March. I said, Chris, they're on fire. We had 33 went last year, and they came back, and they've been talking to all the friends about what an awesome time that they had, and people are already getting signed on. And before I left, I had others that said, Pastor, I'm bringing you the check, I promise. I said, look, give me $10 now, $10 next week, $10 next week, $10. You know, the money will come in. And we're going to take them to Gatlinburg, Tennessee, and just love on them for 3 days. Minister to them through the Word. Let them have some time on their own. Be with some friends and do some great things. Okay? C. The acceptance of a vision is determined by the timing of its presentation. Timing of its presentation. Timing is everything. The vision up until this point was to get out of Egypt, but the real vision was the promised land, and that took timing. Who's got Exodus 19:1-5?
I do.
Okay.
In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they unto the wilderness of Sinai. But they had departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the desert. And there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called upon him out of the mount, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and now I bear you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a particular treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine.
Timing. Like I told you earlier, you know, for the first two and a half years, they didn't listen to anything. It was always, well, Pastor Bob did this, or you're not going to be around long enough to do this, and, you know, it was a struggle. There are several times, and my wife would just tell you, I'm not going to lie to you. There are several times I went home, I said, that's it. I quit. And she looks at me and said, how can you quit? She goes, that's all you ever tell me, and it's all you ever tell the kids, that if God called you, you know, that the gifts and callings of God, and you can't take back, and that if He really called you, and you're really anointed. I said, man, will you quit throwing them stuff? Every time I give you a scripture, you throw it back at me. You can't do that. But you know, she's helped me. You know, I'll say that too. That's the other thing is when my senior pastor hired me, and I went through and I sat down with him and the board members, he looked at me and he asked me several questions about ministry, and then he turned around and he said, "Now don't look at your husband." He looked right at her. And he said, "What do you think?" He said, "Are you going on a ministry? Do you know what this entails?" And he asked her. And she said, "Yes." And then he turned around and looked at me and said, "If she'd have said no," he said, "this interview would have been done and I wouldn't have hired you." He said, "You're the one that I want to see in the office every day." He said, "But it's a partnership and you can't do it without her." Okay? Like I said, I've been there 4 years. Do I know everything? Am I doing everything right? Absolutely not, guys. But I tell you what, it took timing. It took credibility. It took going through some things. And they're starting, after the first 2.5 years, they finally started listening to me and trusting in me and believing in me and knowing that, hey, I'm sticking around. I'm not a fly by night. I'm here for you. Okay? D. The commitment level of the people determines the effectiveness of a vision. The effectiveness of a vision. When people get behind the leader and the vision, they too will be committed to its success. Who has Exodus 36, 4 through 5? Okay.
Then all the craftsmen who were doing all the work of the sanctuary came, each for the work he was doing. And they spoke to Moses, saying, "People bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded us to do."
Okay. Remember, first they didn't want nothing to do with them. Then they started saying, "Well, he's got some credibility. He's got some anointing going on. I mean, God just brought us through, the Red Sea and things parted and snakes and all this. I mean, God's on his side." So they started listening. And then when things got a little rough, they thought, he's sticking around. He's building some credibility. So they started listening to him. So when he came to him, he said, "Thus saith the Lord, this is what we're going to build and you need to supply." They brought more than enough. They brought more than enough. When people get in and they see that you're a person and you've got the vision and you're holding on to that vision, they're going to get so far behind you that you're going to have to turn around and look at them and say, hang on now, slow down. Because, they're going to get on. That's going to overpower. That's a good thing. That is a great problem to have. When I've had to sit there and I've had to do this, when I meet with my leaders, we meet every 2 weeks with my leaders, I've had to have times where they just come in and they're all excited. I'm like, whoa. They said, "But Pastor, you said," I said, "I know. Let's do one step at a time. It got us here this far. It'll take us the rest of the way, one step at a time. We don't want to take off running and leave people." But they're excited because they've got a hold of the vision. It's effective. Okay? It's contagious. Godly ministry is contagious. A good vision and passion is contagious. E. The value of a vision is determined by the energy and direction it gives. The value of a vision is determined by the energy and direction it gives. The value is the reason we do what we do. Exodus 39.
Okay, this is the Amplified version. "According to all that the Lord had commanded Moses, so the Israelites had done all the work. And Moses inspected all the work, and behold, they had done it. As the Lord had commanded, so had they done it. And Moses blessed them."
Alright. And then Exodus 40:34 says, "Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." When you get in there and people see the value of your ministry and they see what's going on, they get behind you and you start moving forward, things begin to happen, the glory of the Lord is going to show in your ministry and people around. That's the thing about it right now in our church. Is the married couples, the prime timers, the youth ministry, other ministries in our church are taking notice. When we came back from our first fall retreat and they saw singles glowing and talking, and man, they were excited. People began asking, "Pastor, what are you doing over there exactly?" We've never seen our singles wanting to get involved in this. We've got more singles wanting to work in our church now than had ever done before. "What exactly are you doing over there?" I said, "Ministering the Word, loving on people." They've caught a hold of the vision. Jesus called us to be servants. I'm creating servants. Yeah, we've got to build them up and we've got to encourage them. We've got to lift them up. We've got to dust them off. We've got to do those things. But then we're turning around and we're telling them, now they've got to go up and they've got to serve someone else. They've got to pick them up and dust them off and do it. And it's repetitive. And they said, "Well, keep on." And it's contagious. It's getting in our church and people are seeing the value of it. F. The success of a vision is determined by its ownership by both the leader and the people. The success of a vision is determined by its ownership by both the leader and the people. Deuteronomy 39 and 10.
And the Lord your God will make you abundantly prosperous in every work of your hand, in the fruit of your body, of your cattle, of your land, for good. For the Lord will again delight in prospering you as he took delight in your fathers, if you obey the voice of the Lord your God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of law. And if you turn to the Lord your God with all your mind and heart and with all your being.
Huh? You know, they got behind the vision of Moses. They saw his effectiveness. They saw his passion. They did all these things. They saw his value. The success was they got to inherit the promised land. Your singles are looking for the promised land. Once everyone gets on the same page and has the same purpose to accomplish the task at hand, the blessings of God will be accomplished. Vision is a clear mental picture of what could be, fueled by a conviction of what should be. All right. The reason I love this example again is because I can relate to Moses and what he was called to. But the second thing is this, is I believe that we've got a bunch of singles in our ministry that are right now, they feel like they're held in bondage, just like the children of Israel. All right, and it's our job to be their deliverer. We can't give up on them. We got to listen to what the Spirit of the Lord spoke into our heart. We got to continue to press on when things get tough. Even when they look at you and say you're nuts, you're out of your mind, and they start worshiping the golden calf, you got to tear down those things and you got to pursue on what God wants, because there is a promised land for your ministry that God wants to take you to another level. You're the leader. Get into the vision. Let them know what your vision is and press on in the things of God. And He's going to bless your ministries, okay? And I believe that with all of my heart. All right? We're out of time. I appreciate you guys coming. We actually went a little bit over. Before you leave, I've got a little gift right here. We'll hand them to you on your way out the door. But I want to pray for each one of you and just pray that the Lord would bless your ministries abundantly, more than you could ever ask or imagine. And again, I thank you for coming. So let's pray real quick. Father, I thank you again for this opportunity to share your word. Father, because I can do nothing without you, but I can do all things through Christ Jesus who gives me strength. I thank you, Father God, for your gifts and your talents. I thank you for your anointing. And I thank you for the vision that you've given to me, but also that you've given to these singles leaders. I thank you that you've brought them here, Lord, and that you've got a purpose for them and for their ministries. And I pray that as they leave this place later on today or tomorrow, Lord, that they would go back to their home church and they would have such a fire inside of them that they would have a refreshment, they would have a clear understanding of what you want to do. I pray that they would receive blessings from all the workshops that they attend today. And Father, they would go back and implement these things into their ministry. They would reevaluate themselves. And Father, they would just press on through that vision that you've given them so that their ministries would grow and do all that you'd have them to do and reach to that level, that promised land, that level that you would have for single adult ministry. We thank you again for the opportunity to serve you, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.